And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, and so many people have written to me about this topic over the years, and we've sold so many books and CDs, audio tapes, even videos on the topic, and yet it keeps creeping back up because it is, when you discuss this topic, it is an expose of one of the most evil and wicked secret societies in the world. You know, in my new video, Rothschild's Choice, I expose the fact that Barack Obama is a Freemason. He's a Prince Hall Mason, a black, in other words, Freemason. But so is Jesse Jackson, and so is Reverend Al Sharpton, and the black governor, blind in more ways than one, David Patterson of New York State. Yeah, all the leaders of the black community, especially all the black civil rights leaders, are Freemasons. And there's a reason for that, of course, because Freemasons are taught some of the most heinous things in the world. Today I want to talk about this topic. I've got a title for it. I think it'll sort of give you a good idea to what we're going to be unmasking today. The title of my expose, let's just call it that, is Rebellion, Death, and Hoodwink, The Legacy and Practice of Freemasonry. It has to do with rebelling against God, rebelling against lawful government, rebelling against righteousness, rebelling against traditions, rebelling against human nature itself. Rebellion. It has to do with death, because this is a death cult. And finally, it involves deception. Hoodwink. The Masons themselves call it. This, dear friends, is the legacy and practice of Freemasonry, and I will prove it to you today by demonstrating that in their own literature, the Masons admit they are Luciferians, Satanists, and their goal is to recreate the world through revolution, death, and bloodshed. Now, some might say to me, now, Tex, I had a brother or an uncle or a father or a son. They were Freemasons. They don't strike me as these kind of people. Well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of lingers and hangers-on and people who join groups looking for various advantage. Or maybe they're just curious. And they themselves are simply ignorant fools, deceived. But nevertheless, they become part of that system. There were many here in the United States back in the 1930s who joined the Communist Party USA believing in some kind of a humanitarian goal. They were going to help release the chains off the working class. But really, communism led hundreds of millions into tyranny, torture, painful death, and misery. Oh, yes, there are so many who join Freemasons thinking it's a social club or a way to get ahead in the business world, or because their pastor or their elder at church is a member. Oh, there's all kinds of reasons for evil doing. It is my responsibility and yours to enlighten these deceived, gullible fools on the truth of Freemasonry. Does God hold us responsible? Yes, he does. We are the watchmen on the wall. If we do not cry out and the unwitting die, then we are guilty. We're cooperating by our silence in their death. And Freemasonry leads to a spiritual death, without doubt. I don't want to go to heaven and meet my Lord and Savior and say, I was apathetic. I didn't care if millions of men got wrapped up and trapped in the cult, the satanic cult of Freemasonry. Can I stand before the throne of God and say, Lord, am I my brother's keeper? That's what Cain asked of God. But so many today go the way of Cain and say, it's none of my business. But it is your business as a Christian believer. So we're going to talk today about Freemasonry. Now, I want you to understand that I believe that almost all the political leaders in the world are Freemasons, which should make you scratch your head and think a little bit. Now, I have documented proof of such men as former Vice President Dick Cheney, President Barack Obama, and many others, of course, from Bill Clinton to Harry Truman to Gerald Ford and so on. But there are others that I am convinced in my own mind also are Freemasons, even though I have not the documentation, because I can see the fruits thereof in their lives. John Quincy Adams, the 6th President of the United States, and we offer his book, Letters on Freemasonry, for your love gift of $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. $25, we'll send you a copy. He was the most brilliant of all the American presidents, John Quincy Adams. His father, John Adams, was the 2nd President of the United States, and John Quincy, the son, was the 6th. He said of Freemasonry that, and the Masonic Lodge, that there is nothing good about it. It contains the seeds of evil, and it has a master whose name is Lucifer. Well, we only have to go to documentation from Masons themselves to discover this is the truth. I can take you to the book by John Robinson, A Pilgrim's Path. Robinson, a 32nd degree Mason, said that Christians are really confused and mixed up. While Lucifer is a good angel, he's come to bring men on the right path. He's not the devil. You know the old saying, my friend, a rose by any other name is still a rose. Well, call him Lucifer, the adversary, the evil one, Baphomet, whatever you want to call him, he's the devil. Lucifer is the devil. Read Isaiah 14, verse 12. And his destiny is the pit of hell. God's pronouncement of prophecy through the prophet Isaiah. I think God knows who the good and the bad angels are, don't you, dear friends? But we'll let Mr. Robinson, a 32nd degree Mason, do a little bit of lying, but we're gonna let you know the truth here. That's what we're about. They're about the lie. We're about the truth. Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, former Sovereign Grand Commander, who wrote the all-time classic that's still revered and honored in all the Masonic lodges of the Scottish Rite, the world's largest Freemasonry organization. He wrote the book Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Rite of the Scottish Rite. Now, this book is the classic learning textbook, but you might want to know that back on July the 14th, 1889, Albert Pike wrote a letter to the Supreme Councils of the World of Freemasonry, identifying their master whom they were to worship, universally worship and venerate. Here's what he says. He says, quote, "We worship a God, but it is the God that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Grand Inspector Generals, we say this, that you may repeat it to brothers of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, be maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. In his book, Morals and Dogma, Pike calls Lucifer the God of light, the father of light, and he says, doubt it not. That's a quote. Doubt it not. Manly P. Hall, another 33rd degree Mason. He was called by the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry the 20th century's greatest Masonic scholar. He says in his book, Lost Keys of Freemasonry, that when the Mason has been properly initiated, he attains the seething energies of Lucifer. I think that's what the Bible calls the God of forces. More on that in a moment. Eliphas Levi, a Kabbalist magician who lived back in the 19th century, and came up with the artist's depiction of Baphomet, to illustrate who he really worshiped, this androgynous half-male, half-female goat god, said not only that Satan and Lucifer are one and the same, but that Lucifer is the, quote, angel presiding over the light of truth. And Eliphas Levi was a high-level Freemason. Lucifer is divine, said Levi. He is the Holy Spirit, and he is the light bearer in us. It is our mind. Ah, yeah. Lucifer ravages, and takes over, seizes the mind of Freemasons as they pass through their initiations, all the way up to the 33 degree, and including that. There is a reason why God says when a man gets sufficiently wicked, that God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate means totally devoid of anything good or worthwhile or righteous. No truth in a high-level Freemason. They're just a bunch of sick, disgusting, filthy liars. You say, well, now I knew a 33rd degree Mason. You didn't know him at all. I've debated Freemasons on the radio, but they always go on the radio not really doing enough research, and then they're caught. They're invited to come on the radio and talk about Freemasonry, and debate this guy, Tex Mars, who wants to say that Freemasonry is satanic. And they go there saying, oh, yeah, he's probably one of those stupid Christian fundamentalists. He's probably one of those southern rednecks. Yeah, he probably has tobacco juice flowing down, you know, drooling from the side of his mouth. He's one of those good old boys, Tex Mars, and he don't really know what he's talking about. And we're just going to wrap him around our little finger. But when I get on the air with him and I start quoting to them their own Masonic textbooks and dictionaries, I'm telling you, their voice begins to quiver. And they say, I can't answer that. That's a secret. Or, well, that's something I can't discuss. Or, Mr. Mars doesn't know what he's talking about, but I can't say anything about that. And right away, the host knows, boy, this guy's doing some tap dancing. He may as well have taken off his shoes and his socks and be jumping around hot coals. I was down in San Marcos, Texas. They invited me to go down there on a radio station and speak for 2 hours about Freemasonry. Host didn't know what he was getting into. He didn't even know anything about the Masonic Lodge. He says, I'd like you to come and tell us what you know about the Masonic Lodge. I said, you're not a Mason? He said, oh, no. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm sure. I said, do you value your job as a talk show host there on that secular radio station? Well, he didn't even know what I was talking about. I said, look, I don't want you to lose your job. I'll be glad to talk about my newest book. that's not even, doesn't even mention Freemasonry. Would you like to talk about that subject? He said, no, I've already told the audience this whole week that you were going to be on discussing Freemasonry. I said, so that's what, I gave the guy an opportunity to back out. I said, are you sure that's what you want to talk about? He said, I don't, you know, he seemed like a nice enough guy. I like people to know when they're going to be in trouble. It's only fair. I'm not out to ambush anybody. I want them to know in advance. But he was actually a pretty nice guy, but he insisted. I mean, we were right 5 minutes until airtime. I was sitting in the studio with him, the radio station in San Marcos, Texas, 30 miles down the road from Austin on I-35. And he said, yeah, we've got to do it on Freemasonry. I said, okay, let's go. So we did. And I mean to tell you, dear friends, it ignited a hornet's nest. Pretty soon, the chief of police of San Marcos, Texas, called in. And he was mad and angry. And he says, how dare you have this Tex-Mars on? I have, you know, I am a Freemason. So I said, well, chief, maybe you can answer some of these questions then. I'm glad you called in. Well, I can't. You know, we took an oath. Oh, you took an oath. Well, I said, what level Freemason are you? He said, well, I'm 18th. 18th. Well, let me tell you what your 32nd degree superior said in this book. And let me tell you what your 33rd degree sovereign grand commander, the head of all Scottish Freemasonry, said in this other book. And pretty soon that chief of police was so furious and mad and angry and frustrated and angry and frightened, probably, of losing his reputation because he couldn't refute anything I said. And then finally he said, well, now listen, nobody really speaks for Masons. I said, not even your own sovereign grand commander, the international leader? Well, no. Every Freemason is an individual. He speaks for himself. Really? I said, you know, that's like going in a Baptist church with 2,000 members and saying, what do y'all believe here as Baptist? Well, we all believe, all 2,000 of us all believe different things. Well, how am I going to know what the Baptists believe? Well, you have to go ask all 2,000 of them. Then I guess you have to computerize it, collate it, you know, and say, well, 28% believe Jesus is Lord, and another 40% believe the devil is Lord, and 32% believe, you know, Britney Spears or Madonna are Lord. I mean, it can get pretty confusing when you got 2,000 people as spokespersons. But, of course, that's silly, because these men, such as Manly P. Hall, are recognized in the Scottish Rite Journal, the authoritative source of Freemasonry, a magazine that's published every month, recognized him as the greatest Masonic scholar of the 21st century. And if he says the Mason who is properly initiated receives the seething energies of Lucifer, I believe he knows more than an 18th degree Freemason, who's chief of police of some little town of 35,000 people down in central Texas. Well, anyway, I ended my show and people were calling up and screaming and cursing and angry and mad. And I told Wanda, you know, I think we were going to have a dinner at a nice restaurant there in San Marcos, but we decided we'd just come on home back to Austin. And, you know, when I got out to the parking lot of the radio station, parked out on the road was a police car. I guess it was the chief of police. I got in my car and I just went on out to I-35 and drove on up north to Austin. He followed me all the way out till we got to the city limits of San Marcos. And then he turned around and came back. Yeah, they escorted me out of town. But never once did he say what I was revealing was not true. It was, well, those are secret. I've taken oaths. I can't say. And I told him, well, I can say. I haven't taken an oath. My only oath of loyalty came to Jesus Christ. And I told him, I'll tell people the truth. And friends, this Freemasonic, Masonic Lodge cult is one of rebellion, death, and hoodwink. Now, see Fred Kleinek, 33rd degree. See, I told you I'd tell you about all the muckety mucks, and you can find out what they believe. I have a whole library of books written by high-level Freemasons throughout the decades. See, Fred Kleindeck, until very recently, 33rd degree, was the sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. In March 2002, in the Scottish Rite Journal, he boasted of how powerful, how supernaturally powerful the Masons were and are. In an article entitled, A Brave New World of Heroes, Mr. Kleindeck, 33rd degree, encouraged his Masonic disciples of lower grade by emphasizing this. He says, quote, "One of the great lessons of the Scottish Rite is this. We do not inherit the world. We create it." Oh, they're creators of the world. They are. They're creating a demonic kingdom here on earth. That's what Obama's doing. That's what Rothschild is doing. You see, Amschel Meir Rothschild, the first of the long dynasty of the Rothschilds, was born, I believe it was 1742, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm sorry, 1746. I have an interesting reference book set in my library, dear friends, called 10,000 Famous Freemasons. It's a directory. It has the names and all the achievements of 10,000 famous Freemasons. Boy, there's some interesting names in there. Oh, yeah, my three-book set, 10,000 Famous Freemasons. It's quite interesting, the people in there. Did you know that the first of the Rothschilds, the great Amschel Meyer Rothschild, who gave them the red shield, their logo and ensign, was a Freemason? Oh, yes, it talks all about him there. All the Rothschilds are always Freemasons. They believe they're in, and not just inheriting all their wealth, but they're creating a new world. And I think Mr. Kleindeck, when he entitled his article in Scottish Rite Journal, A Brave New World of Heroes, it was no accident. You see, even Shakespeare himself, who many people believe was not really Shakespeare, that was just a pen name of Sir Francis Bacon, the high-level Freemason and Rosicrucian. But in his play, Shakespeare, of course, was the famous playwright. In his play, The Tempest, he had this phrase in it. It reads, "O brave new world that has such people in it." Oh, yeah. Freemasons. Heroes of the brave new world. You know, a woman who was a co-mason, in other words, a woman mason, Vera Stanley Alder, wrote a very celebrated textbook that I found extremely fascinating. It was entitled The Initiation of the World. Friends, they don't just want to have their 33-degree initiations for themselves, but they intend to initiate the whole world in a fiery series of bloody events in revolution leading to the culmination of the Antichrist coming to power. Their hero, their ultimate hero, the Antichrist, 666. Vera Stanley Alder, this co-mason, says in her book, The Initiation of the World, she says that once the Illuminist has been raised to become a unit within a great brotherhood, see, he's not really an individual anymore, he becomes a unit in a collective brotherhood. And the occultists, the Satanists, call this the Great White Brotherhood. Not meaning white in skin or white in flesh or Caucasian, but they believe they're the sons of light and that Lucifer is the God or the father of light. He is the solar logos. The sun God himself is Satan. the God of the Illuminati. And she says that in organizations, cults, she doesn't use the word cult, but secret society, such as Freemasonry, that this Illuminist being raised to become a unit within a great brotherhood finds that he has a higher consciousness than the rest of us peons. He finds that he himself has become like God. In fact, Alder says he, that is the Illuminist, the Mason, again, like just as Manly P. Hall said, being properly initiated, knows that he is a God. He is, she says in her book. What an arrogant expression. How much pride and hubris can we find here? No wonder the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. Now, I want to tell you some more secrets about Freemasonry. And I'm going to go very fast here because we have so many things. For some years, I communicated with a man named Jim Shaw, who was a 33rd degree Mason. And he wrote a book called The Deadly Deception, that told the truth about Freemasonry. I believe, Jerry, do we have, Jerry's my engineer here, do we have any copies of The Deadly Deception? None left. Okay. Well, Jim Shaw told me that Jesus' name is forbidden in the lodge. They worship a God whom they call the Grand Architect of the Universe, but that's not Jesus, he said. How would Jim Shaw know? Well, he went to Washington, D.C. to the House of the Temple, and was initiated into the 33rd degree. And then he renounced Freemasonry when he realized what a truly Luciferian activity it was. He says in his book, The Deadly Deception, that in the 33rd degree, he and the other candidates or initiates drank wine from a human skull, simulating blood itself. Drinking of blood. Now, the House of the Temple, it was called. And I have pictures of it in my book, Mysterious Monuments. The House of the Temple is the sanctuary and the international headquaters of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And believe me, dear friends, Pope, P-O-P-E, the man who was the architect, I believe his first name was Francis Pope, the architect of the House of the Temple, designed it exactly according to the original dimensions and style and design and elevation of a tomb in Greece and Turkey. I say Greece and Turkey because it now sits in Turkey, but it once was Greece. King Mazos the Great. The very word mausoleum came from King Mazos because he and his betrothed, his wife, had built for themselves the most massive tomb called the Tomb of Mazos or Mausoleum. And it was conceived, or it was said to be one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. And they have recreated it in Washington, D.C., exactly 13 blocks from the White House. Shows the power. They can even control the real estate, the property of Washington, D.C. But if it's the House of the Temple, who is the temple or what is the temple? This is simply the House of the Temple. You will be surprised to discover the identification of the temple of Freemasonry. And I'll tell you all about it when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. I'm Tex Mars. We're discussing rebellion, death, and hoodwink, the legacy and practice of Freemasonry. I'll be right back. Tex Mars here again. You know, just last week, a New York publisher released a book that's going to be the most sensational best-selling book of this decade, no doubt. It's entitled The Lost Symbol by novelist Dan Brown. And believe it or not, he talks about the same subject I'm talking about, Freemasonry. And it's almost like he took it out of the pages of two of my books, Codex Magica, which is subtitled Secret Signs, Mysterious Symbols, and Hidden Codes of the Illuminati. Codex Magica. And my book, Mysterious Monuments, which unmasked the secrets, the mysteries of Masonic occult architecture. In Mysterious Monuments, I have an entire section, a whole chapter on the architecture and design and even the street layout of Washington, D.C. In fact, in the book, I talk extensively about the house of the temple where the Freemasons conduct their 33rd degree and other rituals. Built in the likeness of the tomb of Mausolus. And Dan Brown, who wrote, by the way, the Da Vinci Code, that I am told sold 54 million copies, in his book says that basically Freemasonry is secret and has a lot of mysteries, but you know, it's not that bad of an organization. It's a benign, hospitable group. Of course, because Dan Brown is about as anti-Christian as it comes. And I believe he was just trying to exonerate the Freemasons. I don't mind somebody buying his book, but don't think it's real. If you want the reality of Freemasons and of satanic architecture in Washington, D.C., and of what really goes on inside the Masonic lodges, then get my books, Mysterious Monuments and Codex Magica. Each one is over 600 huge, large format pages. And they're only $35 each. You can order these two incredible books. And Codex Magica has over 1,000 photographs and illustrations. Mysterious Monuments has over 800, together 1,800 photos and illustrations in these two incredible books. Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments. Now, when your friends start talking about Dan Brown's book, say, hey, you want to know the truth about the Freemasons? You want to know the truth about Washington, D.C. architecture? About satanic architecture all over the world? The architectural colossus built by Satan, maybe in your neighborhood? Well, get the books by Tex Mars, Codex Magica, and Mysterious Monuments. Never have there been two books like these. $35 each. Please add now $5 shipping and handling for each book. That's a total of $40 for each book. You can order both then for $80. Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments. I pray you will, because I'll tell you, I haven't had anyone that ordered this book that called us or wrote us and said, oh, it's not worth $35. Usually they say it's worth hundreds of dollars. Please order these books. Codex Magica, Mysterious Monuments. $40 postpaid for either book, $80 for both. Now, how to get them? Phone us toll free. If you like, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order them. powerofprophecy.com. Now, at the same time, they are available at Barnes & Noble bookstores. You can go there and ask them to order it for you. They might even have it in stock. And you can get it at Amazon.com. If you'd prefer. But when you order it from powerofprophecy.com or phone us toll free at 1-800-234-9673, every dollar that you pay for the book goes into this ministry. I do not receive a royalty from these books. Let me emphasize, I don't receive a royalty from any of the books that we offer here that we published. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, Tex Morris is probably rich because he's got the royalties for these books, but I don't have any royalties for these books. Everything goes into the ministry, and if there's anything left over at the end of the year when we have our financial statement, then Wanda and I pay ourselves. And, well, it hasn't been that successful. but you know what? The ministry comes first in my life because that's the legacy I want to leave behind. Power of Prophecy Ministries. So, again, all the money that you buy these books with goes into the ministry. Then we're able to send our newsletter out around the world. We're able to keep publishing books, tapes, CDs, videos, films, and we're able to continue with Power of Prophecy Radio being heard around the world on WWCR shortwave radio and through the power of the internet, streaming audio at powerofprophecy.com. Our address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, or Tex Mars, M-A-R-R-S, at 1708 Patterson Road. So send a check for $40 for each book, $80 for both of them. Ask for Codex Magica, Mysterious Monuments, and we'll have them winging on their way to you. And if you're not receiving our newsletter, well, we're going to give you a free subscription for at least 6 months to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, which, by the way, you can read all the feature articles and all the information on this newsletter on our website, powerofprophecy.com, absolutely free. That address again is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, we're talking about rebellion. We're discussing death and hoodwink, all of which are the legacy and practice of Freemasonry. I'm talking about Jim Shaw and how he said that he was initiated to the 33rd degree and drink wine from a human skull at the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., built on the order of the Tomb of Mazos. Now, the Bible says, dear friends, and listen to me very carefully here, very, very carefully, that every man or woman who has faith in Jesus Christ and repents of their sin is born again into the family of God, and we are actually made spiritually as living stones. We become new creatures in Him, in Jesus. Did you know that God lives in you? Did you know that He is the rock and you are a living stone? That's what the Bible says. We're lively, living stones. And all together we're formed, we're framed, we fit perfectly together as the temple of the living God. That's amazing. Paul said that you are the temple of God. Now, we can't fathom these things with our own minds. We've got to have the spiritual mindset of Christ to understand. But I want you to understand that Jesus is the cornerstone of the temple. He's the foundation of the temple of the living God, of heavenly Zion, the temple. He's the leader. He's the overseer. He's the protector. He's the father, the benefactor, whatever name you want. All praises be to Him. But listen, all those who reject Jesus Christ remain in their nature as they were born into this world with original sin, the stain of original sin. And listen to me very carefully, if you're not a Christian, you then are also part of a great temple. The temple of the congregation of the dead, which is Satan's temple. You say, oh, no, 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 just because I don't believe in Christ Jesus, I'm not part of the temple of Satan. Well, I beg to differ with you. There are two supernatural temples or houses. One is the house of Satan and one is the house of God. one receives all the promises of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 28. The other receives all of the curses and the pitiful destiny of Satan and his rebellious angels. This then is the temple. It is Satan himself who is the temple and his people who are the congregation of the dead. And when you enter into the tomb of Moses in Washington, D.C., the international sanctuary of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, which many believe is about 4.5 million members strong, you are entering the house of Satan, the house of the temple. And when you enter in, go in there, because they have tours, they take people in there. I've had many people send me pictures they've taken themselves. They said, Tex, look inside the sanctuary. See the great black stone altar in the middle. And see on the wall, great phoenix serpents emblazoned in bronze on the wall behind, and the double-headed eagle. Oh, yeah. That is the goal of initiation. You bow down in your 33rd degree, dear friends, and you are initiated into the cult of the serpent, Ouroboros, or Satan himself, for that is his temple, and you become his servant. And you are made a religious man. No more than that. Pike said that Freemasonry is not a religion. Pike said, Albert Pike, 33rd degree sovereign grand commander who wrote Morals and Dogma and who designed the 33 degrees of modern Freemasonry, he says, Freemasonry is not a religion, it is religion. Now what's the distinction? How can something not be a religion, but instead be religion? Here's why. Because the Masons in all of their textbooks and dictionaries and encyclopedias say that Freemasonry accepts men of all religions and no religion. All that's necessary is that you worship the grand architect by whatever name, by whatever set of doctrines that you yourself espouse. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. But Freemasonry says, whatever you understand as God is acceptable in our universal brotherhood. Because the Buddhist, the Zoroastrian fire worshiper, the Jain, the Hindu, the Muslim, we're all brothers. Therefore, Masonry is religion. But listen to me, dear friend. Christianity is not religion. Religion is some set of doctrines man-made. That's what Jesus said to the Jews. They said, where of our father Abraham? He said, no, because if you worship Abraham, you'd believe in me. Because before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. The great I am is Jesus. You don't believe like Abraham did because he believed in me, Jesus said. And Jesus said, your father, he told the Jews, this is in the New Testament, your father is the devil. And your commandments are man-made traditions. You're part of religion. But Jesus, my friends, is faith incarnate. Faith. He rewards those who have faith in him. Now, I want to distinguish this. The word of faith teachers who claim to be Christian will tell you that if you have faith, you can receive anything. You can attain great rewards. But listen to me, you can be rich, you can have jets and jet flights and fur coats and yachts and big luxurious mansions and palatial estates and fat bank accounts, they say, the word of faith teachers. Prosperity gospel teachers. Not what Jesus said. The word of faith say, people just say, have faith. But the Bible says, have faith in Jesus. Ah, yes. The magnificent difference. Now, remember I told you about Manly P. Hall. He said in his book, Lost Keys of Freemasonry, he's the 33rd degree Mason, the greatest Masonic scholar of the 20th century. said Mr. C. Fred Kleinecht, Sovereign Grand Commander of Manly P. Hall. And he said it's the seething energies of Lucifer that the Mason receives through ritual and initiation. He becomes a god. What are these energy forces? Don't you remember, dear friends, the Star Wars movie? May the Force be with you, said Darth Vader. Oh, yes. The God of forces. The prophet Daniel says in the Bible that this last day's king or ruler of the world, the Antichrist, Satan incarnate, would not worship the God of his fathers, but instead would worship the God of forces. Masons themselves admit they are not sectarian. They don't believe that any one sect is true. They believe that all religions have truth in them. Now, friends, let's use even your common sense. When a man professes belief in anything, well, essentially, he believes in nothing. In nothing. Now, let's talk some more about Freemasons. One of the lures of Freemasonry is to tell you about the many famous men who have been Freemasons. Oh, we're told that John Philip Sousa, who wrote those wonderful military marches, you know, Stars and Stripes Forever and everything. Why, he was a Mason, and yes, he was. The poor mixed up guy was a Mason. Mozart, the famous composer, a Mason. Did you know, dear friends, that even Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, the kings of the Cowboys, were Masons? I'm sad to say that it's true. But before you go a little too far into saying, oh, well, Masons must all be a bunch of good men, let's look at some other Masons. Well, Joseph Stalin was a Mason. What a great humanitarian he was. Tens of millions, mostly Christians, going to the gulags and being murdered and massacred by this monster, a Freemason, Mr. Stalin. And there was his sidekick, Vladimir Lenin, a Mason, and another sidekick, Leon Trotsky, the communist butcher, a Mason. Napoleon, who made himself emperor of France and of much of Europe and brought bloodshed to hundreds of thousands in fruitless, worthless wars, a Freemason. The man who shot Abraham Lincoln and killed him at Ford's Theater was John Wilkes Booth. Both he and his brother Edwin were Freemasons. Oh, yeah. The next time they say, well, Franklin Roosevelt and Gerald Ford were Masons, you can say, yeah, that's right. And so were Stalin and Lenin and other monsters. Now, let's go a little further here. And by the way, again, I want to emphasize that Mayer Amschel Rothschild is shown to be a Freemason in the Masonic textbook called 10,000 Famous Freemasons. Now, many people ask me this question. Who really is God of the Lodge? Well, I've already identified him as Satan or Lucifer. But you know, in the Lodge itself, they like to use fake names to deceive, to hoodwink. In the Blue Lodge, that's the first 3 degrees, they teach you that God's name, that's, you know, the lost word, is Mahabon. If you want to really, you know, bumfuzzle a Freemason, go up to him, put your arm around him and say, hey, dear friend, have you talked to Mahabon recently? He'll probably faint right on the spot. Mahabon. But in the 13th degree, they suddenly tell the Mason, well, you've risen in ranks high enough. We can tell you the real name of God that we worship. The 13th degree of the Scottish Rite, or the 7th degree of Royal Arch Masonry, because there are a number of different sects of Freemasonry, you find that the true lost word is Jah or Yah-Bulon. J-A-H-B-U-L-O-N. In fact, there's a ritual called the 3 times 3 Of course, that equals 9 that they perform. 9, it conceals the number of the beast. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18, and then 1 plus 8 equals 9. So you have a 666 ritual, 3 times 3, where you discover, as a 13th degree Mason, now we can introduce you to the God that you worshiped in ignorance as Mahabon, or the Grand Architect. His name is Yabulon, or Jabulon. Now, the Masonic textbooks and encyclopedias claim that Jabulon is a combination name. It's Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, and Baal, also found in the Old Testament as a synonym for Satan, the God of fire worshipped by the Canaanites. And then there's On, also known as the Egyptian sun god Osiris. In fact, the city of On, O-N, in Egypt, is named after Osiris. And so the old saying goes, on and on and on. Meaning, we worship Osiris and Osiris and Osiris. So now we have the real God of Freemasonry, a combination God. 3 times 3, it's Jabulon, or Yabulon, if you want to have a different pronunciation of the J. I've done a lot of study of this. I found that Freemasonry, according to Albert Pike himself in his book Morals and Dogma, is thoroughly permeated with Jewish Kabbalism. The Kabbalah, the holy book, actually it's several books of the Jews, the Kabbalah, a system of satanic magic of the Jews, is the very foundation of Freemasonry. Now, the Jewish Kabbalah came about in the medieval period from the Khazarian Jews of the Kingdom of Khazaria, in, you know, owned by Russia. And today, you know, that's the area of Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and other areas, former Soviet republics. But the Khazarian nation, many of them immigrated over into Europe and became Jews, Jewish people. But they had no Jewish blood. And to this day, most of the Jews of Israel and the United States and around the world are Khazarians, and they're not even real Jews. But here's a little secret for you. As is explained in the book we offer here in the ministry entitled The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and you can have that book, by the way, for $25, that's postpaid. I write the foreword to that book, and I explain very carefully that this kingdom of Khazaria worshiped pagan tribal gods. But the king named Bulan, get it? B-U-L-O-N, also B-U-L-A-N. King Bulan of Khazaria decided that his people should be either Muslim or Christian or Jewish. And they should forego or abandon their pagan tribal spirituality. And after he investigated Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, he chose Judaism for the people of his kingdom. And he forcibly made or required the people of the kingdom of Khazaria to become Jews by religion. Of course, they're basically Turkish, you know, Cossacks, but he said, no, you're from now on, you're going to be Jews. They had no Jewish blood at all, but the whole kingdom of Khazaria, that was a very powerful kingdom at the time, everyone became a Jew because of King Bulan. And he said, we shall worship the king of the Jews, who is Jehovah. And so it was said by the people of Khazaria, we worship Jabulon, the god of Bulan. Jabulon, the god of our king, Jabulon. A lot of words come from things like this. For example, the Bible says that the Jews in the last days will not worship the God of their fathers. Daniel said that, but will worship the God of forces to whom their king will heap together great treasures, you know, diamonds, gems, jewels. Have you ever looked at the word jewel? J-E-W-E-L. El is a Hebrew word meaning God. A jewel is the God of the Jews. They worship money and jewels. Ever wondered why almost all the jewelry stores in America are owned by Jews? Why they have names like Copperstone, Silversmith, Goldstein, Goldberg, Diamond, Sapphire? That's right. New York columnist recently died. He was a rabid Zionist wacko named William Sapphire. Jabulon, the god of King Bulon of Khazaria, and these Khazarian Jews claiming to be Jews, now are the most dominant Jewish force in the world. And they have conquered America, and now they are, I made up a swindler's list of them in my recent Power of Prophecy newsletter. You need to get that. Read my article, Swindler's List. You'll find out that all of Obama's handlers are all Zionist Jews. They worship the god of Bulon, Jabulon. Interesting. Now, there is the lost word of Freemasonry. But did you know that in the higher degrees, they teach you in addition to the lost word, there is the sacred word. There's a sacred word that you must keep secret. What could that word be? Well, Rex Hutchins, 33rd degree, wrote a book when he was at 32nd degree called A Bridge to Light. It was published by the Supreme Mother Council. Oh, yes. Doesn't that sound hoity-toity? The Supreme Mother Council of the Scottish Rite, Washington, D.C., published his book, A Bridge to Light. It's the official textbook explaining the basic knowledge of the 33rd degrees of Freemasonry. I have a copy of it. And he explains the sacred word. Listen real close. I'm going to whisper it to you, friends. It's the way the Masons do. The sacred word of Freemasonry is Abaddon. Abaddon. Now, the Mason may be so stupid and deceived and hoodwinked, he doesn't know who Abaddon is, the god Abaddon, the sacred word, who he worships in secret. Abaddon. I know who he is. For the Bible, my friend, tells us that in the last days an angel will be sent from heaven, and he will have a key, and he will open up the very pit of hell. And from the pit of hell will come a multitude of dark angels to envelop the whole earth in the last days. Satan's demons. I believe they're here today all around us. Only God can protect you from them. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that they have a leader whose name in the Greek tongue is Apollyon. Apollo, the son of the sun god, and on the sun god. But in the Hebrew tongue, the leader of all of the dark angels, the demons of hell, is Abaddon. And that is the sacred word of Freemasonry. And now you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. This is Tex Mars. We've been talking about rebellion, death, hoodwink, all of the revolutions, the French Revolution, the Armenian Genocide, all because of Freemasonry. Rebellion, death, hoodwinking, that is the legacy and practice of the Masonic Lodge. My good friends, I invite you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.